In the past 20 or so years that I've been interested in religion and libraries and books, I've seen many interesting and innovative depictions of Jesus. The first one that I encountered as a teenager that presented ideas about Jesus that I had never heard about in church was the mystical Jesus. In such books as The Mystic Life of Jesus Christ, which was published by the Rosicrucians, and Edgar Casey's Story of Jesus, I found out about how Christ was a great soul who, through numerous reincarnations, had reached the highest stages of human consciousness and was therefore able to attain complete unity with God. And these mystics claimed that that was what all true people who wanted to achieve unity should do. Next, I ran into the picture of Jesus as a schemer in Hugh Schoenfield's The Passover Plot. In it, we find Jesus to be plotting his crucifixion and supposed resurrection so that he could make it appear as if he had risen from the dead and thereby be proclaimed the Messiah. Unfortunately, according to Schoenfield, Jesus did end up dying after being dragged out of the tomb by some of his cohorts in this plot. But his disciples, confounded by the empty tomb, came to believe that he had risen. In college, I found out about the black Jesus. In what was called black theology, Jesus was often seen as primarily being concerned with the elimination of social and economic oppression in this world, especially as it had to do with the oppression of minorities by majority peoples. In the 70s and the late 80s, Jesus has been proclaimed as a great liberator by the liberation theologian. Jesus is seen as one who sides with violent revolution at times against those governments that oppress their peoples. In the arts and letters, we have seen Jesus depicted as a superstar in Jesus Christ Superstar, kind of as a clown in Godspell, and as one who lusts after the flesh in The Last Temptation of Christ. Of course, pictures of Jesus that don't necessarily jive with what the Bible says have occurred throughout our Christian era. From the Gnostic, dualist, and Manichaean attempts to present Jesus as a spirit without any flesh, to the neo-Orthodox Christ, whose main concern was achieving existential authenticity. Humanity has always tried to make Jesus conform to their own image and their own ideas. The existentialist makes Jesus into one whose whole life and thought were mainly concerned with achieving an authentic existence in this life. The liberationist views Jesus as mainly being concerned with opposing injustice. And the ethicist often tries to make Jesus into a moralizing teacher of righteous living. Those parts of scripture testimony that don't agree with what they want Jesus to be can be denigrated by denying that they are God's word. But don't we too often try to make Jesus into our own image? Don't we in our heart of hearts believe that Jesus, if he had been here on Tuesday in America, would have voted the same way we did? When we try and run into some hard statement of law in the scriptures, such as, if anyone asks you for anything, give it to him, or love your neighbors, and pray for those who persecute you, don't we tend to ignore the implications of those statements and read over them fairly fast? When we see the poor on television begging for food, those in Sudan starving to death, or when we see those on TV who are homeless and poor, and we know they live within a few miles of us, we ignore our Lord's reminders. When we are confronted by the need of refugees for a homeland, or they are in camps where they are often no better than prisoners, Don't we often just throw our hands up in despair and say, what can I do? Or what can my church do? As St. James reminds us, if a Christian man or woman doesn't have any clothes or daily food, and one of you tells them, goodbye, keep warm and eat heartily, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good does it do? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. We all, if not careful, would remake Jesus into our own image. In Hebrews 4:15 it says, he was tempted in every way as we are, only without sin. But we humans oftentimes try to make Jesus a participant in our particular errors and to have him be biased in the same way we are biased. If we are politically conservative or liberal, we look to him for support of our position and maybe ignore his statements that would condemn some of our ideas. If we have a particular vice, we may try to allegorize or ignore his condemnations of our wrong until we become hardened toward any condemnation of that particular sin. We have rationalized away our responsibility to what our Lord has said we, as his servants, are to do. We sometimes are like the stubborn farmer who lived by the river. One day during a heavy rain, the farmer's neighbors came to him and told him to leave his farmhouse for higher ground, as it appeared that the river was going to flood its banks. Well, the stubborn old guy said that there was no way that he was going to leave his farm. After all, he reasoned, it had never flooded his house before. Pretty soon his neighbors came by on a boat and urged him to get on it. But now the thing was a matter of principle. He had told them he wasn't going to leave, and now he wasn't going to change his mind and show that he was fickle. Pretty soon his neighbors, who had retreated to higher ground, saw the farmer's house floating down the river with the farmer on the roof. He yelled at them, I might need your help a little later to get this house back on the foundation again. The last time he was seen or heard from, he was floating down the Mississippi, trying to explain to would-be rescuers that he had decided to move south. We can be that stubborn about our sins sometimes. If only we would listen to Jesus and let him change us, instead of trying to make him a spokesman for our philosophies and politics. But sometimes we just won't listen. But regardless of our attempts to remake Jesus into our own image, he remains the same old Jesus. He remains that same good word of God that the Father spoke and through whom he made a good world and a good people. He remains the same old Jesus whom the Father sent to this earth to show his gracious love for us by living a good life, by dying a sacrificial death upon the cross to pay for our sins, and by rising from the dead so that we too might hope to overcome the grave and join Jesus in a good world that will last forever. He is the same old Jesus that a saint whose birthday is observed today rediscovered. Today is Martin Luther's birthday. As he read the Bible, he found out that Jesus was not that stern judge who was going to come to judge the living and the dead and who therefore had to be appeased by masochistic works of asceticism or by buying indulgences to try and buy him off. Instead, Luther found Jesus to be an activistic kind of judge, such as was found in the book of Judges. This Jesus was not so much concerned about hearing cases brought to him in order to decide by the law who was righteous and who was guilty. Rather, he was a judge who was sent out to right the wrongs done against his people and his creation, and to make righteous the unrighteous. He is that same old Jesus who showed another saint whose birthday is observed today, me, that conceptions of Jesus as being a mystic, schemer, an ethicist, a revolutionary, or anything else that humankind has devised were wrong. This Jesus had never changed. He still is that same gracious person who gives me the world to live in, who washes away my sins daily, who gives himself to me in the meal of remembrance, and who promises that I can join him someday in a place he has prepared for me himself. In our text, we are reminded to stay away from different and foreign teachings. As we evaluate the statements that people make, we need to evaluate them against the standard of the same old Jesus. We should ask, what does this teaching do with Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever? What does it do with God's written word, in which this saving word is revealed? Another means that our text urges upon us so that we will remember the same old Jesus is to remember our leaders who guided us by God's word, and to imitate their faith in this Jesus. The new must be measured against the old. We are conservatives in that we believe that truth has already been revealed, and that we must preserve that essential truth as we are presented with new ideas. Now, that is not to say that scholars and other Christians may not have some new perceptions that will be true to the faith once delivered and may help us to grow in our faith. But all such new ideas must be measured against the same old Jesus as found in that same old Bible to determine their usefulness and their validity. One other reflection for those of you who seek to become leaders of God's people by speaking God's word: as you become pastors, it will be your faith that the lambs of God entrusted to you will seek to imitate. And it will be your life that those you have served will remember on beyond the time you have left that place. One of the heaviest burdens of the ministry is this call to be an example to the flock. I've heard of pastors even killing themselves or giving up their positions because they did not feel they measured up to being an example in their lives. But remember, God wants the people to imitate your faith. That faith is in a God who forgives us when we make a blunder in the parish, and who is active through us when we are unable to meet all the demands placed upon us. The people of God are called upon to remember and imitate their pastors as they seek the forgiveness of God and of others as they make mistakes. They are called to imitate their leaders who serve God faithfully as best they can with the gifts God has given them. These pictures of Jesus that vary from the Bible come and go. No one has believed for centuries that Jesus was just a spirit, as the dualists did. Nobody reads the Passover plot anymore. Black theology has been absorbed into liberation theology. The mystic Jesus is having a resurgence of popularity now in the New Age fad, but he was practically unheard of during the 70s. Such erroneous ideas come and go. The Last Temptation of Christ won't even be available in the video stores within 2 or 3 years. But the same old Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, who descended into hell, who rose again from the dead, who ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, that same old Jesus will always be working in the lives of those who believe the word of God that is proclaimed faithfully by their leaders. And that same old Jesus is coming again to judge the dead and alive. On that day, those who stayed with the same old Jesus and were not carried away by different and foreign teaching will stay in the eternity that belongs to Jesus Christ. The same old Jesus is our Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.